I just wanted all those people that were at the trance party last night. Where are you? Are you here? Will you quickly stand up? Yeah, warriors and warriors. Woo-hoo. Thank you, guys and ladies. Really, just want to honor you for what you did. We saw God did mighty things last night again, because God is always at move and always at work. There are many people saying, oh, Lord, I must wait for you. Something must happen. And all we need to do as Christians is we just need to find out where God is moving and we move with him. We say, Lord, where's your hand? What are you doing in my life? What are you blessing? And move with that. Unfortunately, too many Christians focus all the time on what is wrong in your life, how you should change, how you should be a better Christian, how you should be condemned and guilty and feel ashamed. But Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you. It doesn't say, if you stay, I will make you and form you and make you a perfect porcelain doll, beautiful for my glory, and then I'm going to send you. He says, now, if you just follow me, because God is always at move, at work, in our lives, through our lives, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. I trust that you're going to feel inspired by the Holy Spirit, not by a sermon or by songs or by anything, but by the fact that God wants us not to have church within these four walls. I'm really trusting God that we'll have a little bit of a paradigm shift tonight. Because when we talk about church, we think about coming to a meeting and sitting and worshiping and reading the word together. And that's all blessed. There's such a place for that. It's very scriptural what we're doing here tonight. But you know, tonight should actually just be the highlight of what has been happening all week long. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to look at what Scripture says about what church should be. So the topic tonight is church 24/7. Laka laka. Are you ready? Just fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt quickly. We're going somewhere. My voice is just like this because we've been busy yesterday training lots of people at the SOS, the School of the Supernatural. And we were busy the whole day. People went out. We saw God do amazing stuff. Then last night we were at the trance party, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Just share some testimonies, because every time we share a testimony, you know what the root word of testimony means? It means, Lord, do it again in my life. Okay, so let's pray. Holy Spirit, Lord, there are some people here tonight that are depressed and heavy laden, Lord, and feel so guilty about how wrong we are and all of that stuff. But Lord, that is nonsense and a lie from the devil. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you want us to fly like eagles. And thank you, Lord, for the abilities in Christ. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to quicken us and to inspire us and to reveal to us, Lord, the Word of God and the fragrance of Jesus. Lord, tonight we want to see Jesus afresh and anew. We don't want to see doctrine. We don't want to see church. We want to see you. We don't want to see a man preaching, Lord. We want to see Jesus. That's our heart's desire. Our hearts cry. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. We acknowledge your work. Thank you that you will complete that work, Lord, in our lives. Jesus, I pray that you will tonight start to walk through these chairs. That you'll speak to each one of us in a very, very special way. Lord, whisper and say what is on your heart to us tonight. Because we've come here to worship you. We've come here to meet with you. Thank you, Lord, that even as I'm praying, Lord, people are being healed. People are being set free. Because you're here, Lord. And where you are, there's liberty and there's freedom. So, Lord, quiet all the distractions, all the lies, all the accusations, all the storms, so that you can be glorified here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. The other day I was walking past the shop, and let me just tell you simply, a couple of months ago, I read about somebody called the Bill Johnson and their ministry, and I have a good friend in Seattle. He's not in Seattle anymore. He's in Reading. And so I said to him, well, I want to get there because I heard what happened when his 9-year-old son walked into the house. And he said to his dad, "Dad, I can see there's stuff in your life. And the Lord has told me this morning that there are four things. And you've been praying for two things. But the last 3.5 months, this and this has not been working. But the Lord says you're focusing on the wrong thing. He's going to bless you in this. And within 3 months, we're going to start to move. And things are going to happen. You're going to join a small company. And then this and this." And then his son goes off. Half an hour later, he lies on the floor and he's gobsmacked. You know, because his son went to a place where people taught him that church shouldn't happen within four walls. Church must happen everywhere. And God wants to show himself powerfully to everybody out there, in here, wherever we go, because that's just God's heart. Hello? That was a good place to say amen. Thank you, Slenge. I heard Slenge say amen. You're always good at that. Okay. So coming to that place of beginning to ask God and being a bit frustrated personally, I'm just sharing out of my own life, being a bit frustrated, I said to God, "Lord, there's some challenges because just very simply, the frustration isn't because it's your fault or because you're not moving. You are moving, but Lord, there's just a problem. It feels to me like I'm standing still." And yes, we get a little word of knowledge here and a little that there and then this there. And then the Lord started to speak to me and he said to me, "Well, very simply what's happening is you're boxing me in." And I'm saying, "No, that can't be true." A little while later, the Lord started to show me that I had a wrong perception of where God can move and what he wants to do. And so we went to this course in Durban. And then the Lord started to show me that we can have church wherever we want to. So we went to the Spur that afternoon. Some of you heard this story. And so we're just minding our business, wanting to eat the burger, doing that stuff. And then Rick, who's the pastor in Paul, the lady came, who's our waitress, and she said, "Well," he asked her, "have you got any pain?" And she said, "No." He said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "No." Okay, the Lord bless you and keep you. So we were minding our business. Then the Lord started to show, give us a word of knowledge for the guy who's doing the patties there, you know. So here we go up to my wife, Louise, and Niels, they're sitting behind, and we're going up, and now we sort of stand there, and the guy's doing the patties, and we're doing, you know, and we say, "Well, we just wanted to speak to you for a moment. Can we say to you, there's problems with your brother, he's run away from home," and all that stuff. And then his eyes went like this. "How did you know that?" No, the Lord told us, but we want to pray for you right now. So here he came on the other side. Now the one of us is ministering. I hope Rick went to just turn the patties over, because that's what I told him before he went. He said, "You just make sure that we get our food," you know. And the next moment, people start to line up in the Spur, all the staff. They come one after the other. They say, "No, you can't, you know, you can't leave now. You must pray for us right now." So we say, "Okay, wonderful." So the one lady comes up with this back problem. She gets healed, doof, right there, you know. Then she runs back to the others and say, come, any people needing healing. So we've got a massive healing service, a lineup there in the Spur. And so, hallelujah, God. But so, what happens... In the middle of it, I remember you must have respect for the owner of the Spur. So I run out to the owner. I say, "Can we have a service?" He says, "Yes," with his cigar. You know, he's sitting there with his cigarette. He's sitting there. I say, "Can we have a service? Can we pray for your people?" Yeah. He says, yes. So here we go back. We're lining up everybody. We've got the intercessors at the back. And we've got this wonderful thing going on there in the Spur. Yeah. And then the Lord started to show, well, it's not just in the Spur. The other night we had a wonderful thing there in Cape Town at the pizza place, you know, because we're waiting for the pizza. And the next moment, the Holy Spirit said, "No, there's a lady with problems. We must pray for her." She gets healed. We walk past the other lady and she said, "No, you can't go out of this place without praying for me." Because suddenly when God's presence comes into a place, do you know what? People just latch onto that, because people are hungry and thirsty for the love of God and a touch from God. The only big problem is many people say, well, the moment when God starts to move and God heals people, then most people ask you, "Are you a psychic? Are you a mind reader, a fortune teller?" No, then you just say, "I'm a child of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords." Hallelujah. But you know, God is challenging us to move out of our little boxes. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." That's very encouraging. But it's the truth. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I love this, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then the scripture we all quote, we say, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we can cry out, Abba Father, by whom we can connect with our Daddy Father, with our Heavenly Father. But there's a major challenge here. It says, in this definition, there are two spirits at work. The one is a spirit of bondage that drives you through fear, and it makes you always want to do stuff for God, and you're trying so hard. But it's actually a fleshly thing, because it comes out of a fear motivation. It doesn't come out of an overflow of life, of a place where you realize that God wants to use you. And so the definition for sonship here truly is it's a very simple one, is those who are led by the Spirit. And that's one of the biggest challenges in the church today. Jesus was also challenged by that. Did you know that? When he went into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit led him. And the first thing he was challenged on by Satan is, if you are the Son of God, if you are a son. But he was led by the Spirit. And so there are many challenges even around the word. But you know, many Christians, and I include myself in that, has been stuck in a place of frustration because we are feeding the things of the flesh. And the Lord has challenged me, and I really believe God is going to impart something to you because he's done something in my life. So all I'm doing is I'm just taking the bread that God has given me, and I'm going to give it to you tonight. Because, you know, where's Lucas? Is he here? Lucas. Slaap hy nog nou? Lucas, daar achter sit hy. Lucas and I went, and this guy passed out last night there at the trance party, and we were sort of just praying for him, and the next moment he died. The guy died. So we were a bit shocked. So Lucas probably had a bit more faith than I had. Ne, Lucas? And the Lord made him alive again. Now, most of us think, oh, that is heavy, but it felt so natural. For 5 minutes we feeding his pulse, feeding at his neck, checking everything, and then we realized he's not breathing anymore. He's dead. I said to him, Lucas, he's dead. Lucas said, yes, he's dead. An 18-year-old guy, surfer here from Komiki, Sebastian, full of drugs. Took too much drugs. And then God resurrected him right there. He sat up, said, I'm Sebastian. And we were shocked. I think we were more surprised than him. But you know, God raises the dead every day. Did you know that? And he was going to speak to Johan and these other people of what has happened there. Because when there's darkness and the light goes to the darkness, we're never intimidated by the darkness. Because the presence of God is with us. And wherever we go, we've got the ability to manifest the presence of God. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, walking into a place, and I told the story this morning, but at this previous party, this big guy came up to me and he stood there looking down at me. I wanted to say to him, you're much bigger and taller than I am, but you haven't seen how big I am in the spirit. But I was looking up at him. And then he said, my spirit clashes with your spirit. I thought, oh, okay. That's when you start to panic a little bit. But you know, you sweat when he tells you, I want to kill you, because that was his next word. And for a moment, I was so intimidated by this huge guy. He told me he was a suicide bomber, all of that stuff. And he goes on, and I'm thinking, oh, my chona machantas. You know, fortunately, there were two girls, prayer warriors, standing behind me, and they checked here. They said, okay, they probably saw first pastor of shofar going to eternity, you know, by man killing him or whatever, laying down your life, blood being shed, or whatever. But they started to pray. But the most amazing thing, something changed in me, because God said to me, all you need to do over that situation is you just start to speak my words over him. So I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said to him, I sense you are a man of peace. While everything inside of me was shaking. I'm just speaking God's peace over you. I'm just releasing. And you know, there was such an anger in his face. There was an anger in his heart towards just wanted to fight. But you know what? The moment when I spoke the word of God, because I realized the presence of God is with me. And I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody or anything, But the love of God and the presence of God will change this man. Because I'm not going to fight with being angry at him or telling him what he should do and rebuking him and trying to cast out the demon or anything like that. All I said is, I can sense you're a man of peace. Now, Peter, who was with me, he still denies it. But somebody that came with me still turned around the side here and said, and you're going to preach the gospel, you know, and disappeared again. And I thought, why don't you come and stand in front of me, between me and this big guy? Now you come and sort of just, you know, like this little waffle dogs that make lots of noise, you know. But they, sorry, Peter, no, he said it wasn't him, so I believe him. But the amazing thing is, I learned something there, is that you and I don't need to be intimidated. When I was praying for this meeting specifically, I felt God said, there are many people here today, this morning and today, and God moved powerfully this morning. There are many people here that feel very unspiritual. And you feel inadequate, or you feel that there are other people that are much more spiritual than you, and therefore God cannot use you because you are so weird, or you're so full of sin, and you've done so many things wrong. God doesn't actually want to use you. But did you know that the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead quickens your body and my body? The same Holy Spirit. It's not a different measure that I've received than you have received. So we're going to break that lie tonight. In the fact that wherever you go, God wants to use you. Wherever you go, there God wants to manifest. And especially in these dark places. Because we as Christians, we're so afraid because we're huddled together in our comfort zones, because it's so easy for us, did you know, to be cliquish. Because it's actually a root of fear that keeps us together many times and not real love. Because we're afraid that the world is going to reject us. We're afraid. Now, it is tense because, do you know what, every time you're going to step out or God is going to use you, something must happen. Do you know, and it's something very easy. It means you and I must die. The other day I was walking past, I told the people yesterday, I was walking past the shop and there was a lady sitting, and the Holy Spirit said to me, no, this lady needs prayer. And I'm thinking, oh my chona. So here we walk. And I walk past and I walk past. And I stand on the other side. Because some people think, oh, you this evangelist or you this man, you're so bold. No, I tell you, every time I have to share the gospel, I quake. I feel I don't want to die 1,000 deaths. But the moment when I just come to the Holy Spirit and said, okay, Holy Spirit, you help me. You show me what is on your heart and how you feel about this person. And when the love of God kicks in, then God starts to move. So I was standing there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pass by again. And when she looks down at a paper and she doesn't look up, and I'll try to make a squeak in front of the door and do everything, you know, then that will be a sign. So I walk past by and my chona machanta, she looks down. Okay, so I'm thinking, oh, okay. I stop on the other side again. I say, okay, Lord, no. If I walk past by her again and she looks up and she stares at me, then that will be a sign. So here I go again. When I get to the door, oh my chona machantas, there she looks up. So I think, okay, now I'll go past. Okay, I say, okay, thank you, God. That must obviously be you. Yeah, we put all these things before God. So yeah, I go back to the door and I walk in. I say, lady, I feel this heaviness here. And I don't know why, but I want to pray for you. Just want to minister. I just feel God feels, says he loves you. The next moment, fountains of living water. Just like good ladies can do, eh? And ladies, never be ashamed of that. The fact that you're sometimes more emotional or that you cry. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You just go for it. Cry your heart out. Okay. There was a guy that went with us last night, and on the way back, you know, at the transport, he said to me, well, I just went there to pray, and I just cried all the time. On the way back, he was snorting all over the place in my car, but that was fine. Yeah. And I said to him, do you know what? The fact that you went there, and you wept, and you felt what Jesus felt, that was the fact that you didn't pray anything, but you just went to stand there and you brought the light there, that was intercession for God. That was beautiful to God. Because it changed lives. Because that's what moves us, is that compassion. When we're led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes there are illegitimate things in our lives, and Scripture talks about illegitimate sons like the Ishmael. Some Ishmaels must die here tonight because we try to resurrect certain things in the flesh. But scripture also talks about mature sons, mature children, and children that are still babies. Let's read here in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." Now listen to this. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use," say reason of use, "have their senses exercised." Wonderful. "To discern both good and evil." So here scripture talks about a group of people. He says, when we talk about Christian maturity, I must tell you, I have met 9-year-old children that are more mature than many Christians that are 50 years old. Because of this. Because of reason of use, they can discern God's will. They can walk in it, and they're not babies anymore crying because they're selfish. It's all about them. And so the lust stuff in our lives, the habits, the fleshly stuff is just one big thing. It's called immaturity. Because you still want stuff. But we're going to do something tonight. We're going to trust God to step out of the flesh into the spirit and make a commitment to say to God, "God, we don't want to move in the flesh all the time anymore. We don't want to just be selfish." Because I believe the greatest sin in the first world church is not immorality. It is unbelief. Apathy. Indifference, selfishness, consumerism. Because, "God, I come to church because I want, give me. That wasn't a good sermon. That guy, I don't like his preaching. Oh, no, that book, no, oh, no, you know." But who's the center? And I'm challenging on this because God has challenged me. He said, Jesus must be the center. We're going to look at some scriptures. Can you say amen? That was a good place to be, to say amen. Thank you. That was not a good amen, but in any case, we'll go moving right along. Okay. So God says, if you want to be mature, it's very simple. You have to exercise. You have to exercise your spiritual senses. You have to grow into that place where you realize God wants to use you. God wants to raise you up to change the world. There was a little 9-year-old girl at this conference. She walked up, came there, took the mic in front of all these people. There were about 500 to 600 people. And she said, "Do you know what? My friend and I, who's 7 years old, the Lord told us we must also go to the shopping mall and pray for people." So we took our stuff and we our mom dropped us at the shopping mall. And then as we came into the shopping mall, there was a lady that walked and she was bent over. And the Lord said, Jesus said to me that God, he really wants to heal her. So we walked up to her, we prayed for her, and she was healed. But then God said, also, there's something wrong with her foot, and God healed that as well. And she made a commitment to Jesus Christ because that was what God said. It's her day of salvation. Now she turns back to says, but the crowd, she says to the crowd, but the Lord says, you must come in childlike faith. Now she begins to prophesy over the crowd. Now she turns to the speaker of the conference. And she tells him what God is saying over him and his ministry. The 9-year-old child, she says, thank you. I'm going to sit down now. Amen. So she went there. And the fear of God is all over the place. We had a wonderful time this morning. We called the kids up. We laid hands on them, and they went to pray for the people. Wonderful. Pure, undefiled worship. Ha. We're going to call some of you up tonight as well, and you're going to pray. Okay, let's look at some things that Scripture says. There must be a flowing in our lives. I want us to have a picture of this massive river, because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there's going to be a fountain that springs up into everlasting life. It's going to be a fountain. It's going to be a river. It's going to overflow. Wherever you go, God is going to move. And that is one of the keys I want to share with you tonight. Very simply, just look at where God is moving and move with him, because God is always at work. Hello. My wife, Louise, when we went to this conference, I was thinking, I said, okay, I'm a bit of a passionate guy. I love to be inspired and I love to inspire other people, but she's an introvert. Those of you who know her, she's not somebody that will take a mic and preach over the mic or anything like that. She's just a cool, calm, collected person, you know. She won't mind me saying this. But I took her to the conference because I thought, okay, if her life changes, this must be from God. Because it just comes naturally to me, but to other people, some people hide behind their introvertness and their stuff that they say, oh, you know, I'm a shy person. you know, I'm not spiritual enough, so God can never use me, or whatever stuff like that. Not that she said that, but she is quite a shy person. So when we go out the first time to the mall, what happens? She tells me, she says, "Look, yeah, I told you about this thing that I'm not going to do that door-to-door thing, or I'm not going to go out ministering. I'm going to go shopping when you guys go out." I say, wonderful. No pressure, because do you know what? God never puts pressure on us to do anything for him. Whatever we do comes from an overflowing of life. Comes from, you've drank from that river, so when you've connected with Jesus, when you've seen Jesus, you just want to give more. That's the big problem. We don't see Jesus, therefore we don't give, because we don't connect. But that's going to change, I trust. So she goes into this little shopping place and she stands there. She's just minding her own business. The next moment, this baby falls from this lady's hands onto the floor, goof, with the thing on the head. There's chaos. Now she realizes she prayed. She just prayed a simple prayer. "Lord, use me wherever you want to use me." So now she rushes, lays hands on the baby. The baby gets healed instantly, just like that. Then the lady at the counter says, "Ooh, I've got problems." And the other lady tells her, no, you must go to this woman because she's going to pray for her. In the end, she's got this massive service while we're walking up and down the corridors, praying, being tense about saying, "Lord, give us somebody that we can go to, you know." She's just minding her own business with a little shopping bag standing there. And everybody rushes to her. People get healed. She prays. She says, "Okay, look, line up here. Just go there. Okay. You know, there she goes." You know? So now I love to hear her going to the shopping mall or the Stellenbosch Square, because she said the other day she drives up to Stellenbosch Square and then there's this massive pain here in the right side and in her back. She realizes that's not her pain. So she says, "Okay, Lord, show me where this is." So she gets to the till. The lady on the other side, she says, "Ask her, have you got a pain here, right here down your legs and in the back?" The lady says, "Yes, I could not sleep last night. I can't barely stand up." So she prays for the lady while the groceries are passing through. She says, "Lord, just heal her in Jesus' name. I command the sickness to go." The lady gets healed just like that. She runs off to the manager, leaves everything there, the till open, everything. So now we've got a wonderful service there in Pick and Pay again. So I just want to follow my wife. Just go and help her in the ministry. Hallelujah. But the reason why I'm sharing that is I want to tell you tonight that God wants to use you. Because that's what his love does. When you're full of love, have you ever been in love? How many of you have been in love? How many of you are in love? Y'all with Jesus, but somebody are here as well, you know. But you know, when Louise and I, before we, you know, just when I started to date her, you know, I would do these weird things. I would make a tea, do all the right stuff, and then I'd take the cup of tea to her, and then I realize I've never boiled the water. And I think, cloud nine. Vasco Alicia. She's just been engaged. Well done. Ons met Manetti Blosi. Okay. So God calls us to this life of an overflowing, of this river flooding us wherever we go. And the first scripture that I want to read is Romans chapter 6. Okay, now you have to fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt quickly. Fasten your seatbelt. Great. Okay. Verse 13 to 16. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but grace." It's grace that enables us. If you live under the law, that other spirit, then what you're going to do, you're always going to have rules, always have regulations. You're always going to feel bad because God doesn't use you or because you missed him. You're always focusing on the negative. But you know, when God looks at you, he looks at you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He looks at you differently than what we look at ourselves. And it was tough for me, but you know, the other day the Lord said to me, "You are a blessing." Slinger, you are such a blessing. I mean, I feel good. Okay. I feel good when she preaches, you know. Now listen to this. everything inside of me said, oh, no, I must be a little bit more perfect. I must have. And then what I had to do is I stood before God and I said, okay, Lord, thank you. I am a blessing. Because why should I disagree with you? Now, I can tell you tonight, without any pride, that I'm a blessing to you tonight. And do you know what? That you're a blessing to me. And that you're a blessing to somebody next to you. Why? Because God says so. Because God has made no junk. God has made no illegitimate nonsense, fakes, anything like that. God has just made somebody in the image of himself. And that's you. Hello. That was a good place to say amen. Yeah, squeak the ducks. Is it squeak the ducks or quack the ducks or press the ducks or whatever? Okay, great. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but for you are not under the law, but by grace. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slave whom you obey? So God calls us, yes, to a life of obedience, not of sacrifice, but of obedience. And the ability to just say, Lord, here I am, use me. And that means he's going to use you and you're going to feel used many times. But it's the most amazing thing. You are actually, and something God has told me that liberated me in the last couple of months, is God said to me, I have made you to die to yourself. I have created the capacity in you. It must be the greatest joy to deny yourself. I have not made you to be selfish and self-absorbing and focusing on yourself all the time. I've made you to deny yourself and take up your cross. And there's such a joy in that. Because he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and it's inside of you. Wherever there's righteousness, because you stand in a position in Christ, there's peace in your heart and there's joy that flows out of it because the kingdom is near us, it's in us. So wherever I go, if you understand that you go into your classroom tomorrow morning and you walk in there, then you can just stand and say, the kingdom is here. Because you're there. Now, some of you must begin to think, to change your thinking. Think you're changing. Okay, change your thinking. Because we go in like worms. But if you're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, do you know, you don't go around and tell everybody, just have respect. Prince Harry and William, they just go around. But wherever they go, there's a respect. Because they're royalty. Now, you know the demons actually respect you when you have got the blood of Christ on you. So why shouldn't you? You are worth something. And I'm not saying this to try and pipe you up. I'm trying to change your thinking when you walk into everyday life. Because we have got this condemnation, accusation, fear thing that drives us, that makes us mad because we're always like fighting with God and frustrated until we just walk out of the flesh into the Spirit. Obedience. Continual infilling. The second thing. This life. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled, say be filled, with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks sometimes for some things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says giving thanks always, even in the bad times, for all things, even for the bad things, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, that is the outflowing of a life that has continually come to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that continual way, we get baptized once in the Holy Spirit, but then there's a continual yieldedness or infilling to God. Where every day you walk and you say, God, here I am, use me. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are my best friend. I want to tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. There's some people here that are intensely lonely. Just invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Just start to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and your life will change. It's going to take that loneliness away. It's going to take that depression away. Because wherever you are, did you know that your spirit never goes to sleep? Never. That means at night while your mind is sleeping, your spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit is at work. That's why we consecrate our dreams to God. We say, God, use me, show me, speak to me, minister to me. Now, Trishy's not here, but you know, I've had times when God would download a sermon, like the whole outline. when we were still in the DF Milan Hall. Then I'll preach the sermon, and after the sermon, Therese walks up to me and she says, Sias, do you know? On Wednesday night, the Lord gave me a sermon. And then she shows me the date and the sermon that I preached, scripture for scripture, outline for outline, just like God gave me. Because why can't God do that? I pray for more than that. Lord, please bring every week. No, but it has just happened once. But hallelujah. But it can happen because, you know, God is in control of everything. Are you with me tonight? So God wants to minister to you in the night. God wants you to dream dreams. And there's some people here that are dreaming lustful dreams and you're dreaming all fleshly stuff. And it's not your fault many times. That's a word for some people here because you feel so condemned of the bad dreams that you dream. But it's just supernatural. And all we need to do is we need to trust God that it's going to break that yoke of slavery over you and you're going to begin to dream God's dreams. Because every addicted alcoholic has got a massive capacity to soak and drink the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? So we just need to change the focus. Say, Holy Spirit, come and take and fill that area. So God wants us to be continually full. Say, continually full. And then he says the outflow is that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of us must just sing it in the shower. But others of us, like myself, we're going to be worship leaders in heaven. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Why didn't anybody say amen there? Okay. That's it. Crack the ducks. Okay. The third thing is continual exercise. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Again, the same thing. Not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, exercise. Spiritually exercise. Don't go to the gym once a month and then you bench press 80 or 100 kilograms. You're going to feel dead the next 3 days. Because that's how we are many times spiritually. We walk into the spiritual gym with God and now we suddenly actually expect magic from God. But if you don't start in the little things, that's where we're going to start tonight by walking in the Spirit. Do you know that God is going to take you on a journey? You're going to grow because your character is going to grow with the anointing on your life. God is very interested in your character as well. But so many people just focus on the character, but they just think, oh, okay, my God, God never wants to use me. And scripture says, yeah, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, it is your responsibility to stir up the gift that I gave to you by the laying on of hands, but you better stir it up. You must fan the flame. You must make sure that the Spirit stuff gets exercised in your life. That's why you need to pray in the Spirit. That's why you need to position. And that's how you get to know what your gifts are, not by praying 30 times a day and say, God, show me my gifts. You just need to go into the world and say, okay, Lord, send people to me that has got a need for the gifts on my life. And then when you go, you're going to discover God uses you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. The second last one. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Again, that word grace. We're in a season of grace. And whatever you do, say whatever you do, in word or in deed, do in all the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, scripture says once we come to this continual place of yieldedness, stepping out of the flesh, stepping out and say, God, I am frustrated with fleshly things, with all these addictions that hold me back, but I know there's more, but I can't do anything about it except just come to you and say, Lord, I've been looking that way. Let me look in that way. I want to see what you have. I want to walk in that because then I can let go of the fleshly things because the spiritual walk with God and the fullness of overflowing life every day with his church 24/7, God begins to use you, begin to see God manifest here and then God moves there and you can't keep up with God because God is all over the place and you just know, wow, this is exciting. This is an adventure because God is at work. And that's amazing. You know, but it says here there's a worship, there's a place where when we come together, then we admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So whenever we even come together corporately, we don't come here to church on a Sunday night to sit here and say, oh, I feel so bored. I feel so depressed. This has been a tough week. And I'm living for the weekend. But the weekend is ending at 12 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow it's Monday again. 5 days of hard labor and suffering. But on Friday night, I'm going to have a cry. So Lord, please take me through.
Friday night, he's somewhere there. I'm almost making it.
Some of us live like that as Christians. And then we need like an injection from God when we get to church. We need like actually a drug. Then we get pumped up, or we read a book and we get pumped up at cell. And there's nothing wrong with that, because scripture says we must build each other up. But listen to this next scripture. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14, whenever you come together, not just in cell, not just at church, whenever you come together around the bryfless feet. That's a barbecue, Pastor. Barbecue. Okay. That's what we do here. We don't do that vegetable thing. Yeah. Okay. You know. Okay. Just wanted to settle something in the spirit there. Whenever you come together. But he agrees completely. Whenever you come together, each of you. I love this word. Each of you. Each of you. Say this. Each of me. Each of you. Hey, you must be sharp here, eh? You must be sharp. Each of you. That means you and 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 you. That means each one of you. Not you. And oh, you. Huh? And you. That's not what scripture says. Whenever you come together, each one of you, everyone, listen to this, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So when we come to church, it's not about receiving, but you must come and say, Lord, give me a word so that I want to bless somebody when I come to church. Maybe it's just a hug. Maybe it's just, how are you doing? Somebody that I don't know, but Lord, use me. Because when we come together, everybody has got something to give. And some people think that these spiritual gifts fall out of the sky and whatever, do you know? How I got to learn how to use the word of knowledge was very simple. A friend of mine, that same one who's in Reading at the moment, at that church, whose son prophesied over him. We used to pack the chairs every Sunday upstairs in the Nielsen. And then we'd prophesy over every chair. And I'd say, okay, Lord, show me. Who are the people that do not know you, that need a touch from you tonight? Where are they going to sit? Many times I got it right, 8 out of 10 times. I pray over that chair, say, Lord, let this chair burn with your love. Lord, let there be a true repentance for the person that sits on this chair. And then when the altar call came, I'd say, yes, bring it on, Jesus. Bring it on, Jesus. Now that's what you learn by just serving, by just finding a place. Because you are a blessing. Stop letting the devil tell you you're not. You must be sorted out before God can use you. You know, most people in scripture were like really failures in the natural. Samuel comes to the 7 sons. Then he says, ooh, the big guy, the handsome guy, and then the little David. He says, no, not these big guys, not the mighty ones. Is there anybody else? God comes to Gideon. Then he says, you mighty man of valor. Then he like, me. God comes to David. David is nilakani. Abraham. Abraham is an idol worshiper. Says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We're sitting here because of Abraham's blessing. And he decided he's going to move out from where he is. He's going to move out of the earth, the Chaldeans, out of the flesh. God didn't tell him where to, but he said, I'm ready, God. I'm moving with you. And then wherever he went, the wells just sprang up. Things started to happen. Because why? He just followed God. He just had a heart to connect with God. And you know, as the church and the body of Jesus Christ, when we start to move where there's darkness, you're going to see God move in awesome ways. Stop being cliquish. Stop waiting for God to do something. Just say, Lord, you're already doing something. The kingdom is already in my life. I thank you. And maybe it's just one little step that you have taken, but you know it's one step ahead of somebody else that you can help along the way. And that is sometimes the problem. I'm going to say very honestly with you with pulpit ministry. Because people like you would idolize people like me and say, he's very spiritual. Now, I can keep you busy the whole evening on all my mistakes. I make lots of mistakes. I have prophesied over people that they're going to reconcile with their mother, and then their mother has been dead for 5 years. I have laid hands on many sick corpses and dead corpses, and they did not get raised from the dead. Sick corpses, okay, that doesn't work like it works so much. But you get it, okay? And then they don't stand up, but like Smith Wigglesworth said, they asked him one day, yo, you saw about 25 people raised from the dead. And he said, well, if you've laid your hands on so many dead corpses, then at least some of them must raise from the dead, you know. I love this answer. Because when we went to this trans party the first time, you know, there's somebody, and person isn't here, but it was a leader in one of our other churches. And she phoned me and she said to me, do you know what? I'm just very careful because you obviously don't know anything about what happens there at these trans parties and these things. So I just want to be careful and I just want to sort of warn you. I just want to tell you, you must be very, very careful. You know, I'm not any fear or anything like that. So she sort of tries to, but you know, I just want to ask you one thing. Have you got a word to go to these trans parties? Now, in the back of my mind, I know how we decided to go to these trans parties. Johan and I, and I think Dievold was there. We just one day, we watched this DVD, Furious Love, and all of that stuff. And then we decided, and I asked Johan, what is the worst place that you've ever been to? He says, no, these trans parties, they really do like weird stuff there full of drugs. I said, okay, let's go there. He says, yes, that sounds like a good idea. Okay, wonderful. That's how we decided, you know. Now this lady asked me, have you got a word to go? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, now what am I going to say? Now this whole condemnation thing, I'm thinking, oh, my God, now I haven't been spiritual enough. I've probably not been praying enough about this. I haven't been focused on everything is like going on now. And oh, my God, now, you know. And then something popped up. It's like that eureka, that light moment, that ping, 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 you know, it went up. I said, yes, I've got a word. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Go and do it. So I've got a word. It's a very strong word. It was his last word. And he said it 3 times in 3 different Gospels. Just for in case I would misinterpret what he said. Huh? So I said, bring it on, Jesus. We must go and make disciples there. So now these days, I just ask God very simply without pride or whatever. I just say, okay, God, where are the darkest areas? Now, I love to hear, you know, the church is going to the Sexpo. And they're going to have in Joburg, they're going to have a stall there on to tell people why God created sex in the midst of the darkness and all the pornography and all the stuff that you can sell. And it's wonderful. Most other Christians say, oh, don't go there. Darkness. Oh, you're going to fall for the lust. And oh, you're going to. But if you walk in the Spirit, lust isn't an issue because you've grown up. You've walked away. You've let go of that things because you realize that stuff doesn't do anything to you anymore. There's nothing like the presence of God. There's nothing like a moment when you walk into a life and that person begins to like, there's something different here. Why? What is different? Why is, like this one guy last night, you know, and there were so many testimonies, you know, he's so full of drugs going on. And then I've got a word for him. Say to him, well, tell me about your dad. Tell me about all the conflict in your house. Then he says, this all getting a sobering moment there. You hit the nail on the on you hit the nail on the head there. I say because God loves you, and God won't do to you what your dad did to you. Says it's so nice and peaceful here with you. And I said to him, yes, let's come and chill, bro. Let's just, bro. Now, don't speak old King James there to him. The Lord speaketh unto the earth. I said, let's just chill here. So now we lie there on the mattress and we just chill together. He's so full of drugs, but I lay hands on him. You know, I say, you shall serve the Lord. He loves you so much. And then he says, oh, it's so peaceful here. I said to him, yes, can you feel the vibe? But I know it's the Holy Spirit. But you know, I'm not going to do Christianese around him because he hasn't got a clue. In the end, when I want to pray for him, he didn't want me to pray for him. He jumps up, he runs out there, he stands there. His friend, who's a little bit more gone than him, he says, I like that, bro. I like that, bro. So I just prayed for him as he went. I said, thank you, Lord, that he opened his heart. It's one step. But hallelujah. But you know, at the previous one, there was a lady, and it really challenged me a lot. We were standing at the stall. We do a stall there, which is called spiritual readings, spiritual cleansings, and physical healings. And the people just come. They just want spiritual readings. It's like fun. They dare each other. The one lady came. She said, I took 3 drops of acid to be here, but I'm here. I said, wonderful. Because guys, ladies, we've got life. Stop thinking you haven't got life or you've got a second-hand Jesus. You've got the risen Christ. He lives forever. And he can walk into one life and can be sober somebody up. There was a guy here in Kaimani who drank 3 bottles of whiskey. We laid hands on him. He sobered up like this. Had a revelation of Jesus. Because you know, when Jesus walks onto the scene, storm's quiet. When Jesus walks onto the scene, fish and bread multiplies. When Jesus walks onto the scene, the blind begins to see. The dead begins to be raised. And many times you feel like it feels so natural, but you know what? It's because it is supernaturally natural. It's your inheritance. It's my inheritance. We don't lust after the power. We lust after love. Because the people out there, do you know what they desperately need? Not power, but the love of God. They need a hug from God. Those kids running up and down there, because at a stage they trip out. They use too much drugs. Then they just run. This lady came running. Girl, probably about 19 years of age. She came running. A blonde girl from Stellenbosch. She stood in front of the stall and she screamed out loud. She said, help me. Help me, please. Help me. Then the drugs and the demons took over and she started to run. She ran through this whole area down through the cars, gone. And I was thinking a lot about that. I said, why would she run to our stall where all the Christians were standing and she would come and scream that? In the midst of all these other stalls, all these other places, can I tell you why? Because people are attracted to the light. People are attracted to the love of God. They cannot deny the love of God. It's like a magnet. It just draws them in the spiritual realm. I want to challenge us tonight to step out of the flesh. There's some people here with addictions and stuff in your life, and there's like these cycles in your life. Just like this morning, we're going to pray that God will break it over your life. But not because we're so against the lust or against the fleshly stuff. It's just because we're saying yes to the Spirit. We're saying, yes, Holy Spirit, here I am. Come and take control. Lord, I've been striving. I've been fearful. I've been in bondage. I've been whatever, God. But I'm not even going to focus on that because all I want is more of you. Come and fill me to the place of overflowing so that the river can begin to flood, so the river can begin to flow, so that the fountains can begin to spring up, so that things can begin to happen through my life wherever I go. I don't need to go and look and walk up the corridors and be focused and target people and be so tense because it just comes naturally. Why? Because it's a lifestyle of walking with Jesus. Will you stand with me tonight? I have very good news for you right now. And that good news is that the service has started right now. Everything you've heard was just part of the introduction. And I know we've got quite a full program tonight, but there's an impartation that you can receive, not from me, but from the Holy Spirit tonight. Because you know what? God wants to use you. God wants to show you. God wants you to taste that fresh, sweet-smelling fragrance of Jesus in your mouth every day. Wherever you go, things begin to happen. Wherever you go, the presence of God is there with you. When you sit in your class, when you go to work, drive in your car. I've had some experience the past couple of weeks. I cannot even begin to tell you. Sometimes I just had to stop next to the road because I can't drive because of the Holy Spirit just coming. Because I'm just asking all the time, say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. I want to decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, I want more. I want to see what you have. I want to do the things that you have called me to do because I've got one life. One opportunity, and I want to live life in abundance because that's what your word says. I'm sick and tired of being frustrated, and I'm not frustrated with you, God. I'm just frustrated with myself because there are too many fleshly things in my life. But Holy Spirit, come into my dreams. Come into my studies. Come into my workplace. Come and take control. And the moment when you begin to pray that prayer, like the other day I was jogging and the Holy Spirit would gave me a picture of a woman's face and I would run. I would stop because I had this, couldn't breathe. I would run. I would stop there in the middle of the running and say, okay, Lord, show me, tell me. And then he shows me this face of this lady. I run to this place because I know where she works. And I say to her, full of sweat dripping all over the place, say to her, there's a heaviness on you. God has sent me all this way to jog here, 7 kilometers. So I know this must be a word from God because I must still jog 7 kilometers back. But God wants to deliver you now. And then the fountains of life just started to again. People probably think, well, what bad stuff does this guy say to people? Because wherever he goes, he's just like, these reactions, you know. I said to God wants to deliver you. She's become a friend of our family. We pray for her. She's lonely and depressed. Hasn't got any friends. But now she's got two. Because the love of Christ has sent us to her. The moment when we open up our hearts, people start flooding because people are desperate for Jesus. People are lonely. People are depressed. People are full of fear. People are all that stuff. And all they want is the love of God. They're either going to settle for good love or they're going to go for bad love. But for love, they'll go. Because people have got a deep desire to be loved. Some of you have got a desire to be loved. And you've been running and stuff and doing stuff in your life. And you know it's just empty. And God is calling you to Himself. Not to the church. Not to the man. Not to cell group. Not to anything. Not to a religious experience. Jesus is saying, come. All you are thirsty. All you are heavy laden. Come to the fountain of life. Come and drink. Come and buy with money that you don't have. Come. Just come. Just bring yourself. Bring all of the chemos that you have. Just bring it. Bring it. Because when you get to the water, you're going to be satisfied. Thank you, Jesus, that you're at work in our lives right now. Lord, I pray for physical touch right now, that some people that have never felt an embrace will feel you even right now as they're standing or they're sitting. Some people are so desperate just to be loved, just to be touched. Lord, there's a lie that says we must be so spiritual, so holy that you can't hug us. But I want to thank you for a Holy Father's hug tonight. I want to thank you for a freedom, because those who the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, if you're here tonight and you are in the world and you don't know Jesus, you've never committed your life to Christ, or maybe even you've backslidden, you've run away from Him, then there's an invitation to come and lay down your life so that you can live. That invitation is from Jesus himself. It's not from me, it's from him. Come to the waters. Come and change your way of looking at yourself when God begins to change you, not because you do it. And so if you're here tonight and you're in need of a savior, or you need to come back to Jesus because he's this God far away, this religious experience, whatever, and you know that you don't have a relationship with God, then he says, come. Come, I invite you to partake of me. So if there's anybody like that, while every eye is closed, I want you to raise your hand very high. Say, that's me. Maybe there's just one person. Thank you. 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 You see you at the back there. See you at the back. Just raise your hand very high. Because you don't need to be ashamed. It's free. The gifts of God are free. It's not cheap, but it's free. You cannot do anything to earn it. You just need to come to the wedding feast. You just need to come to accept and lay down all the filthy garments when you just come into the door, because there's a place at the table for him. If that's you, raise up your hand very high. Don't be ashamed. This is the invitation from that Jesus. He's saying, come. Come to me. Come. I want to embrace you. I want to have you to feast with me. I want to show you things to come. I want you to partake of me and of my destiny. Not your destiny. Not his plan for you. There's nothing like that in Scripture. It's very simply, it's his plan. His glory. And the greatest thing that you can ever do is just die so that he can live. Hallelujah. If your hand hasn't gone up and you know you must be, you're one of those people, I want you to raise your hand very high. Very high. Because tonight, today is your day of salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here tonight. Thank you that you're moving. You've already started to move in these lives long before this service started. If you have raised your hand, I want you to quickly step out from where you are. Say to the people next to you, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I've got business with the king. I've got an invitation to go to the king's palace. I've got an invitation to go and sit at his table where we're going to look eye to eye to each other. Quickly come. Stand right here in front because I want to pray with you. Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Lord! Come, there were some more hands coming up. Just come quickly, just come. You feel so worthless, you feel so depressed. You feel you must save yourself, you must earn something to be with Jesus. No, no, no. You just come right to the front. You just come right to the front, because tonight he's going to save you. And it's going to be a real salvation when you just come to him. Not because you pray a little prayer, but just come to him, because that's the invitation. Amen? Just quickly come. If there's anybody else that needs to be in front and you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand, run, run. There's lots of overflow of life when it comes to God. If you've come for that prayer, will you stand right in front? I'm going to do something very weird, but I'm just going to be obedient. I want to give each one of you a high five. Okay. Give me a high five. Okay. You're precious. Did you know that? Jesus died for you. Okay. Do you know that? Okay. You're cool. Did you know that? Okay. Okay. Van 'n paar misdalkies soos ons hier aangaan. Halleluja. Goed stuff. Sometimes when you come to Jesus, it's like this. Ooh, it is so hard. It is so tense. Are you all just part of the fan club? Okay. Hello. Hello. Just come here. Oh, you want this place for you as well. Kom gou hier, groot man. Cool stuff. Anybody else here that still needs a high five? It's the greatest moment in eternity when somebody comes to Jesus. Hey, what's your name? Michael. Yes, cool, Michael. Bro. Now what are we going to do? We're going to do the greatest thing that you can ever do. Die. Just say to Jesus, here's my life. I've messed up my life. But Lord, I thank you that you make all things new. Because God creates, God makes new. So let's pray a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me, that you rose from the dead. Forgive my sins, change me because I want a new life. I receive your offer of salvation. Come and take control. My whole life, my whole being, my past and my future. From this moment on, I am your possession. I belong to you. I am no longer a slave, but a child of a living God. And I walk into eternity in Jesus' name. Let's give the greatest shout that we've ever heard. Okay, this is a time to smile, okay? Some of you have just opened the door. I'm going to say it very honestly, you're not saved yet, but you're looking to Jesus. Many of you have made that commitment. And all you need to do is you need to walk a road of discipleship, of just following Jesus now. Amen? There are wonderful people here. Look at all these family members that you've just got with. We're all here for you. And so we want to encourage you. Just start to follow Jesus. Tomorrow morning you read Matthew. Start with the book of Matthew. Don't start in Ecclesiastes or Lamentations, okay? It's not a good book to start in. You can read it later. But read with Matthew, and then you look at Jesus. You ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. Amen? And you start to follow Jesus. You look at that Jesus, and what he did in other people's lives, he's going to do in your life. And every time before you start to read the word, every time before you pray, just say, Lord, increase my hunger. I want to see Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, for relationship with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, there's somebody behind you that's just going to take you to that side quickly and just going to pray with you. If that's fine. And just give you some material. Let's just give these people a round of applause. God is so good. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. If you know that you have been challenged, especially in the area of addictions, of lust in your life, and you need to make a prophetic statement tonight about just getting into the things of the Spirit again. Some of you have lost your sharpness. Some of you have prayed, but you got offended or you got hurt through people laying on hands on you or stuff like that and prophesying over you and it was wrong and all of that stuff. Please forgive them. Forgive leaders like me that sometimes say stupid things. But Jesus is marching. Jesus is walking. Jesus is going. Let's follow him. When we come to church, you come with a song. You come with a psalm. You come with something in your heart. You come to bring something. Because God has been at work in your life the whole week. I want to break the cycle of a people's lives that live for spiritual weekends or spiritual meetings or spiritual happenings in your life. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in a way that he becomes your friend in every day, everything. That you understand to study is just as spiritual to come to church. To work is just as spiritual. To go to work, to drive wherever you go, there's not something more spiritual than something else. It's great to be together and have the corporate anointing of God and worship together where God speaks to all of us. That's what family is about. We eat together. But you know, there's a life to live of abundance. So if you know that you're trapped in the flesh, I want you to quickly come out. We're going to pray a prayer of faith over you. And we're going to come to agree with you. Nobody's going to know what it's about. I want you to quickly come and stand right here in front if God has been speaking to you. Just come, quickly. There's stuff in your life. Doesn't need to be heavy sin or whatever. Maybe you just have come to that place where you're frustrated and you've lost that spiritual edge in your life or whatever. Now normally everybody checks around and say, ooh, look at who's going forth. Don't care, you know. You don't need to worry about who comes or who doesn't come. You don't even need to come if you don't want to. You can stand there. You can, God can touch you right there at the back as well, okay? All we're doing is we're making a prophetic statement. We're saying to God, God, here we are. We want to live a life of fountains and rivers, a life in the Spirit and through the Spirit, where every day you begin to use us. Lord, you send us to the darkest places and we're not going to be afraid, because the light is shining, the kingdom is coming. And there's a war because the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. But hallelujah, Lord, we're going for it. Because we understand there's something more than just the ordinary. I want to tell you that whoever is born of God has overcome this world. Whoever has been born of God has overcome this world. Whoever has been born of God has overcome this world and the things of this world. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every addiction. We break every lie. Lord, prophetically, Lord, we can't do anything for ourselves except then just come to stand before you, Jesus, with arms open wide and say, Lord, deliver us as we step out of the flesh. And we just make a prophetic commitment tonight, Lord, to step out of the flesh into the Spirit. Lord, some of us, our swords are blunt. Some of us, Lord, we've lost the sharpness, Lord. Lord, there's just lust and perversion and all this stuff, Father. But we're not even looking to that. We're looking to you tonight, Jesus. Jesus, save us. Jesus, heal us. Jesus, deliver us. Jesus, set us free. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to come with you. We want to go with you. We want to walk with you. We want to run with you. We want to fly with you. Lord, show us where you're moving. Lord, show us the fish and the bread that you have given us. We want to walk with that. Come and multiply it in our hands, Lord. We're not focusing anymore on what we don't have, but we're coming to you, Jesus, because you're the giver of life. Hallelujah. Let's just worship in the Spirit for a moment. Let's just sing a new song to God. That's what Scripture says when they come together. Look to Jesus tonight, just in your mind. Let's just worship Him for a moment. As the healer right now. So if you've got any physical stuff in your life, in your body, I want you just to take your hand. I want you to place it on that area. There's somebody with intense, there are two people here with intense heart beatings. But you get these heart palpitations or whatever you call it in English. Where are you? Show me quickly where you are. I want to pray for you. There are two people specifically. There's one person. Where's the other person? You've been quite tense this week. Okay, just lay your hands on your heart quickly. There at the back. Father, right now we release your healing over those hearts in Jesus' name. We command the beat to become normal. We command sickness to go. And we release your healing right now in that heart in Jesus' name and in that heart in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you touch their bodies right now, Lord. We thank you and we receive your healing in Jesus' name. There's somebody here with two people here with intense left shoulder pain at the moment as you're standing. Left shoulder pains. Yeah, and one somebody here at the back. Somebody, it's like a rugby injury. And there's another guy that has gone for an operation already. Where are you? There's one person. Where's the other person? There are two people here that the Lord showed. There are you. Just take your hand on that shoulder. People are next to them. Father, we release your healing right now, Lord, into that in Jesus' name. We speak healing. We command healing to come into those shoulders in Jesus' name. We command your healing to flood them right now. Lord, just thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you touch them right now, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you, God. There's somebody here with ear stuff in your right ear. In your right ear, there's lots of stuff in your right ear and it's always like painful. Stuff. I'm not going to say what I'm seeing, but where are you? Is that you? Thank you, Father. Just heal him right now, Jesus. We just thank you. We just pray in the Spirit. Amen. Jesus is just healing people. So if you've got something in your body, anything physical, I want you to take your hand, the left hand, I want you to place it on that part. And just say, thank you, Jesus. As I'm touching myself, or you can ask somebody next to you if you feel bold enough, then just touch that. There are a couple of people here with ankle stuff here in your right ankle. There are three people specifically here. Where are you that God wants to heal? Is that you? Okay, one. Can somebody just lay hands on the ankle? There's some other people. One. Okay, there's a couple of people here. Four people in front. Okay, so Lord, we just release that into their lives right now. Okay, there's somebody here. If you've got a word, a very specific word, I want you to come right to the front. Maybe you've got a word of knowledge, okay? Because it's not just me ministering. God, Holy Spirit is at work, okay? There's somebody here. There's a word going out for somebody that you've got an option for an abortion, and God is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. We're not going to call you out, and you're considering that a lot right now, even tonight as we're standing. Right at the end, if you'll hang around or you'll just come to the office, I don't know how you're going to do that, but we'll be around. Yes, just come and chat to somebody. We'd love to help you or just pray with you, and we're going to see how God can do that and deliver you from that situation. And God always makes a way, but God is very, very strong on that right now. Okay, have you got a word?
So I just sense there's a lady here who's got problems with her immune system, and you've got bleeding, and you bleed very, very easily. And I just sense God really wants to heal you tonight and also break shame over your life because of that.
Where's that lady? We want to pray for you quickly. Where are you? Any ladies like that? With your immune system, your blood system? Is that you? Will somebody just lay hands on that? Thank you, Jesus. We just right now release your healing over her in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God. Just pray for the people around her. There are some people here with intense, a heavy spirit, but you know it by it's pressing right here at the moment. It feels like you cannot breathe. You actually think it's asthma, and it's gone through your head a couple of times. There's specifically a guy here that in this week you started to have that by Wednesday. It has just grown more intense. But it's an intense thing here, right here on your breast. And just like when you want to wake up, wherever you go, you think it's like that, but it's actually a spiritual thing right now. Where are you? We want to pray for you quickly. There are a couple of people like that. Is that you? One, two. There are a couple of people more. There's about five people that the Lord showed. Three. Where's the other two people? There's another one. There are five. Okay, they're at the back. Will you just quickly lay your hands on those five people? Father, we release your healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal. Thank you that you touch. Thank you that you deliver. Now, what I want you to do, Jesus is here to heal. If you've got a sickness in your body, I want you to quickly, if you're standing there at the back, I want you to take your left hand, I want you to put it on your body, and then I want you to ask somebody next to you to pray for you. Okay, because we're going to release the healing through the body of Christ. I mean, anybody can pray for sickness, that's what Jesus said. So we're going to do it quickly. If you've got any sickness in your body, will you ask somebody next to you? You just put your hand on your body part and say, pray with me. Just pray. And then what you do is you just command that sickness to go. Say, thank you, Jesus, for healing right now. I want some facilitators, some of the pastors, to just quickly come to the front and anoint people. We're not going to pray for them tonight, okay? We're not going to pray for them, but I want us to anoint them. I want the facilitators to listen very carefully. We're not going to pray long prayers tonight for people. We are going to anoint them, and then we're going to worship Jesus. I mean, because people need Jesus to touch them tonight. They don't need our prayers. So listen very carefully, facilitators. Don't want long prayers. I don't want you to counsel people. We're going to just anoint them, and then we're going to worship. Amen. There's some people that are in need of deliverance. There are intense oppression and stuff. There's a lady here that has, somebody has said to you that there's been a curse spoken over you, and some people have conspired against you. Especially there's some people in your family that has come against you, and it feels like there are these parties, everybody's fighting against it, and you feel sort of the center of that. Where's that lady? I want to pray for you today, because God wants to deliver. You actually need a supernatural deliverance. Will you come to the front quickly? Just come to the front. Just bring somebody with you. Don't be shy. Just come. Don't you want? Okay, that's fine. I want some ladies just quickly there next to her. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We're going to just pray. Father, we pray right now that you'll deliver in Jesus' name. Lord, deliver her from this in the name of Jesus. Father, I know it's a heavy, heavy oppression, but you don't want to put shame on this family, Father. And we break, Lord, as a witchcraft spirit over that family, God. There's a lady, Lord, involved in supernatural things, Lord, and she's releasing stuff against that family. But we break that spirit of division and spirit of divorce over that family. Will you just agree with her right there at the back? If you are suffering from intense fears, there's some people here that need deliverance from fears. If you would quickly come right to the front, we're going to pray for you, because you've been tormented by fear. You know it's demonic. God is going to break that yoke over your life. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I want you to stand right here in front. I want the facilitators. I don't want you to pray for them right now. Okay, listen, go. Luister. Facilitators, ons gaan nie nou vir 'n bid nie. Just stand. We just want to quickly ask everybody here with that fear thing just to come and stand right in front. We're going to just pray a corporate prayer for them as the church. Amen. Hallelujah. If those people quickly come. There's been an intense demonic sense of fear and oppression in your life. You know that it's not natural, but there's just this wave upon wave over your life. I really feel God wants to deliver you tonight. And we're going to pray a prayer of faith as the body of Christ. Lots of people are ministering, so it feels to some of you maybe a little bit confused, but God is in control. Amen. Okay, so if you are not praying for somebody, I want you to stretch out your hands to these people. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we break every spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We break the torment of fear over people in the name of Jesus. I want you to anoint them quickly. Father, we come against every weapon and accusation that has been formed against them in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke the lying spirits. We rebuke the lying spirits. We quiet the mouths of the lions now. Lord, we ask that you do it by faith, Lord, like you did with Daniel, in Jesus' name. And right now, we ask, Lord, that you break the yoke of fear and of shame in Jesus' name. Lord, let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. Let it go in Jesus' name. We break every yoke now in Jesus' name. We break every fear in the name of Jesus. Father, we just worship you. And we pray that you replace it with faith in Jesus' name. We're going to just worship the Lord for a little bit as you just continue praying. Amen. God is at work. There's some people being set free. If there's any stuff in your life that is hindering you from just supernaturally seeing God, Father, we command every false, lying, accusation spirit to leave in Jesus' name. Can we just worship a little bit? Hallelujah.